So we're going to start by singing a song together, song 263, Worthy of Worship. Okay, 263, Worthy of Worship. It's a wonderful song, and sometimes we do need to help ourselves to sing or to meditate on how worthy the Lord is for us to worship Him. And then we look at our rooms, a small room, very few people, but imagine yourself in the presence of God one day with millions and millions of other saints and with the elders, and they cast their crowns before the Lord's feet and worship the Lord. And we are just one of those little tiny bit of saved believers among these millions of people worshiping God. How amazing that would be. Just imagine that for a minute. You know, one of the greatest worship experiences I had is when many years ago, I went with a few brothers to the Katoomba conference center. There was a men's conference, and there were about 2,000 men there. And the band was composed not just a traditional instrument, they had trumpets, and they sing. And when we sing together, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, that atmosphere really stirred me up, because I can imagine that one day before the Lord in heaven, we can worship God in that manner. There is something to look forward to. Okay? I'm not saying that we look forward to death and be with the Lord forever, but I do look forward to one day being with the Lord and worshiping in that way. Now, when I come to Calibre, it's not many times, but when I come, I have started speaking on the parables of the Lord Jesus. The first time when I was here, I spoke on the old cloth, mending the new cloth, mending the old garment, and the new wine and the old wine skin. Remember when the Lord Jesus gave that parable, he said you can't patch an old garment with a new piece of cloth, because the new piece of cloth will shrunk, and then you will tear the old garment. Neither can you put new wine into old wine skin, because the old wine skin already expanded, but the new wine will continue to be fermented and will expand furthermore. So when that happens, the old wine skin will burst. So Jesus gave these parables to illustrate to the people listening to him that you can't enjoy this new grace and joy that I'm bringing because of the salvation I offer with the observation of the old law and of the Old Testaments. So he is saying to the people listening to him that you need to have a new life. You need to be a new creation in order to contain the joy and the grace that I'm going to give you. So that was a parable of the old versus new cloth and wineskin. Then we spoke on another parable about the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Remember what the Lord Jesus said, that you need to be the salt of the earth, in the sense that you need to be different. And not only you need to bring flavor to the life of the people around you, but you also need to preserve the world from going further decay because of their sins. We are to make a difference. And if we lose our saltiness, then we are useless. We'll be thrown away, be trampled on the ground. Jesus also wants us to be the light of the world, like a city standing up on the hill that is evident to everyone looking at it. We are to shine as light. We don't have any light, but we can reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people around us. So those were the two parables that we mentioned in my previous visit here. So what is a parable? Let's review that. A parable is the earthly story with the heavenly truth. So Jesus usually illustrates using lives and happenings and objects commonly found in the life of the people in his time. So when he mentioned the parable in that manner, people can relate to what he is talking about. The important thing is the lesson of each parable. So what is the lesson? That lesson will always be illustrated by the story alongside the truth that Jesus wants to present to the people. Why did Jesus speak in parable? Can't he just simply give us the truth? The things that he wants us to know, instead of speaking the parable. In fact, the Bible said at one stage that he did not say anything else to the crowd or people following him, except in parables. Jesus spoke in parable because people's heart will harden. If he simply present the truth to them, they'll just ignore it. But he spoke in parables, using a story, because a story is easy to remember. And if the hearts of the people are seeking God, then they want to know more about what that story means. And then if they seek God, God will reveal the story to them, the truth of the story to them. By people's heart are hardened. They might hear the story, but they have no interest in seeking further. Then they will not be able to understand the story. That's why Jesus spoke in parables. So if they understood, then it became grace and mercy of the Lord being received by them. If they don't understand, that means that they will be also still be judged by the story, in the sense that by the truth of the story. And because of their hardness of their heart, they will not be able to understand what Jesus was saying to them. Today we're going to look at the wise and foolish builders. And some of you who have gone through Sunday school, that, oh, I know that story. I could even sing the song, right? Do you know how to sing the song?
The wise man built a house on the rock.
That's right. Now we have a Sunday school teacher here, so she knows, right? That the wise man built his house upon the rock, right? So you know that song. And then what happened? The rain came down, the floods came up, right? And then towards the end, he said, but the house on the rock stood firm. Then we have another one, the foolish man. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, all right? And then what happened? The floods came down, and the rain came down, the floods came up. And then the house on the sand went splash. So we know the story. But still, we need to read it. Let's read from Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to verse 27. Matthew 7, 21 to 27. Now, 21 to 23 is actually a warning before the parable, okay? So, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, so after the warning, Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears this saying of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Okay, a familiar, very familiar story. Now, Jesus began speaking to the crowd on the mountain, and it was famously called the Sermon of the Mount. It's quite a long sermon. It's Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. So the Lord Jesus began with the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. And then he gave them promises after each of those blessed statements, Beatitudes. Do you remember what they are? Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and so forth. So Jesus is basically begin with a list of things he wants his disciples to be able to follow and live. It is a way of life for the disciples. And then at the end of his sermon, he ended with a warning. He also ended with a parable. The parable of the builders, the wise and foolish builders. Okay? So it's very interesting how the Lord Jesus began and end this Sermon on the Mount. It is very, very famous. And it has many things that we can look to today briefly, what he said, because it is very important. Because he said that in that warning that on the last day, there are many people who come to him thinking that they are all right. but they will be rejected by the Lord Jesus. Why did the Lord Jesus reject them? You know, if you look at verse 21 to verse 23, they came to him and said, "Lord, Lord," they even called Jesus Lord. But Jesus said to them, "I never knew you." Now that would be quite a shock. You know, some of you have gone to Sunday schools, you come to church every Sunday. But on that day, you discover that the Lord Jesus said he did not know you. How could that happen? Could it happen? Could it happen to you? Could it happen to me? So what went wrong? So what did Jesus say? The reason he did not know them is because they did not do the will of the Father. So I want you to pay special attention today. What does it mean to do the will of the Father? To do the will of the Father is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is to truly believe in Him and truly understood what it means to believe in Him and give your life to Him. Let's look at John chapter 6 verse 40. John chapter 6 verse 40. "And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Can you see that? What is the will of the Father? That everyone who sees the Son, see Jesus, and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and that He will be raised up at the last day. So it's very important for us to understand that becoming a Christian is actually to be born again, to really know who the Lord Jesus is and follow Him and obey Him. So that was the warning that Jesus gave to the people. There are people who think that they are following the Lord Jesus. They may call Him Lord, Lord, yet they are not saved. You can think of an example, let's say Judas Iscariot. He followed the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years. He was one of those who was sent out by the Lord Jesus to heal the sick and cast out demons. He knew the power of the Lord Jesus, but yet he never fully committed his life to the Lord Jesus. He cares for what? He cares most for money. He was willing to betray the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He did not truly believe that Jesus was the Messiah that is coming to save them from their sins. He did not believe that. So in the sense that in his case, he did not do the will of the Father. He did not truly believe in the Lord Jesus. And therefore, he was found wanting. He will be found wanting one day when he stands before the judgment seat of Christ. To make this warning even clearer, so that's why Jesus gave the parable of the two builders and the two outcomes. Now let's look at these two builders. These two builders have the knowledge, right? They both have the knowledge to build their house. They both want to build a house to shelter themselves from the elements, okay? They want to shelter themselves from the wind, the storm, the rain, the heat, the cold of the outside. Right? So it's very fair enough that each one of them want to have a roof over their head. Okay, they want a shelter from the elements. Now they both have the knowledge on how to build. They both have the knowledge to build the house and the freedom to build the house that they wanted to. Okay? They can build any way they like. They have that freedom and the knowledge to do it. But the result is different. Both finished their houses, but the result of their building is totally different. Because one stood firm, one fell apart and fall in a heap and lost everything. So the result of their building is depending on how they built. They both have knowledge to build. They can build whatever they want. Let's say they even have the same budget, okay? They have the same budget to build what they want to build. But the outcomes were different. Because the wise man, he was willing to be patient. He was willing to dig deeper until he hit solid rock. Then he started building his foundation from that piece of solid rock. The foolish man, he did not. He did not spend the money or the time or have any patience to dig further deeper. He just lay his foundation on top of the sand. Unstable soil that can move. All right? Based on the amount of moisture and pressure that is in the on the soil. The foolish man probably built a much nicer looking house. Just now I say, they both have the same budget. The wise man spent a lot of money actually digging deeper to reach solid rock. The foolish man did not spend any money on the foundation at all. So he was able to build quickly and he was able to decorate his house with much more beautiful sort of features. The wise man's house could be simpler because he ran out of money trying to decorate the house because he spent a lot of money in making sure that the foundation is sure and strong. And when the rain came, when the storm hit, when the flood rises, when the wind beat against the house, the two different houses has totally two different results. Now let's look at a few photos to show you how important foundation is. Anyone remember this building? 2009 in Shanghai. There's a 13-story building. This building, exactly the same as this one, and there are many others around the thing. The thing just go one morning. It happened one morning. Unfortunately, no one lived in there yet. One construction worker passed away because of that collapse. The only person who made any money from this building is the person who built all the windows because none of the windows broken. How did that building collapse this way? The foundation. What happened is that they were digging in front of the building, they were digging a underground car park. And all the soil from that underground car park was piled on top of this side of the building. So one side is next, like there's a void, the other side has much heavier amount of soil. And because the soil underneath is not rock, it's just clay, so there is a movement of pressure causing the ground to shift. As the ground shifts, the foundation, you can imagine the piling, all starts shifting as well. Next photos. And you see, all this just become like matchsticks. They are supposed to be piling the support of the building. And the pile was also built with outdated technology. So there is actually a hollow core throughout the whole of the pile. So it's not strong enough to support this building. So that's what happened. Next photo. Is there one more?
There's no more.
No more. Okay. So you can see the result of a poor foundation and how it can destroy a building. So all the effort that, you know, imagine that building, if it's any closer to the other buildings next to it, it will become like a deck of cards. Boom, boom, boom. Like domino effects that many other buildings will collapse as well. So what is this story about? Now we come to the story of that parable. What did the Lord Jesus trying to tell the people from this parable after that warning that he had shared? You see, the houses are like our lives. The wise and foolish builders, they are building their lives. So Jesus is saying to us, you are also building your life. They have the same budget. We also have the same budget. What is our budget? That is our lifetime on earth. The day we are born until the day we pass away. That is our budget. That is how much we have to build our life on. So we have the freedom to build any way we like, anyhow we like, how we look. So you have the freedom to live your life any way you choose to. And what is the rain, the storm, and the flood? These are the trials and tribulations of life, the pressure of life that we will face, each one in our lives. The illnesses, the tragedies that strike our families, accidents, loss of jobs, loss of loved ones, major disappointments, and finally, death and judgment. These are the trials. These are the rain, the flood, and the windstorm that beat against the house. These are the trials of our life. Will we be in despair, or will we be in hope when these things hit us? Will we fall in a heap, or will we stand strong on the promises that God gave us? And finally, when we face death and judgment, what will be the outcome of that judgment? So what is the foundation that Jesus is making mention of? The rock versus the sandy foundations. What is the rock foundation? Jesus said, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, that is the rock. That is the sure foundation. Whoever has the word of the Lord Jesus and do them is someone who built their lives on solid rock, who built their house on solid rock, who built their lives on solid foundation. So it's hearing and doing. So the first warning was saying but not listening to the Lord. So they will be judged. And Jesus said, I do not know you. The second one is that it's hearing. If you're hearing only and not doing, then you are building your lives on unsecure foundation and you will collapse in a heap. So what are the sayings of the Lord Jesus? Remember I talked about the Sermon on the Mount started from Matthew chapter 5 and continued to Matthew chapter 7. And there are many, many instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples. He said, these are the things you need to do if you want to live like a children of the kingdom of God. So let's go through a few of this. We won't be able to spend time on each one of them in details. But if Jesus said to us that you need to hear his saying and do them, then we do need to find out what they are in order to keep them. So started with the Beatitudes, right? Or a simple word to describe it is beautiful attitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus wanted his disciples to learn to be poor in spirit, to be humble. And then they will promise the kingdom of heaven. He said, blessed are those who mourn, people who mourn for the sins of the world, for the lack of love for God in their own heart, and for the lack of love in the people, in the society towards God. They mourn for that. Blessed are the meek. He wants his disciple to be meek, to be humble, and to be able to be approachable to talk about the word of God. And then he said, blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. He wants the disciples to be merciful. He wants the disciples to be pure in heart. He wants them to be peacemakers. And he wants them to be aware that they shall be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And Jesus told his disciples that you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, like we mentioned just now. And he wants them to guard their heart. For everything, all the fruits of their life come from the heart. Adultery and murders start from the heart first. Before murders happen, you start in your heart, you hating someone first, isn't it? You hate someone so much so that eventually you end up in an action that causes that person to lose their life. That is murder. And then Jesus encouraged his disciples to go the second mile. When someone forces you to walk 1 mile, go with them for the second mile. If someone strikes your cheek on the left, turn to your right. And Jesus also teaches the disciples that you need to love your enemies. Bless them instead of cursing them. And then in chapter 6 of Matthew, the Lord Jesus continued to share with them what are the things that his disciples need to learn from. He said to them that you need to do your charitable deeds in secret. If you want to do good work, do it in secret. Don't boast it. Don't make it plain so that everyone can see it. But do it in secret, only letting your Heavenly Father know them. And you need to forgive men their trespasses, just like how your Heavenly Father forgives you. Then he teaches them to lay up treasures in heaven. Not to lay up treasures on earth that will pass away, but lay up treasures in heaven that will last forever. And he told them that you cannot serve God and money. You can only serve one master. If you want to serve money, you can't serve God. He teaches us how to be free from all the worries of our life. He said, do not worry. God knows what you need. Even the sparrows, God knows what their needs. God will give them what their needs. They do not sow, they do not reap, but they find plenty of food around to satisfy their needs. God cares for us. And he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things that you need, God will add them to you. Then he continued in Matthew chapter 7, said, do not judge, for you shall be judged. Then he also encouraged them to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. For it will be given to them, for they shall find it, and the door shall be opened to them. Then he talked to the disciples that you need to stay on the narrow way. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. If many people are walking on that way, avoid it. Go the narrow way that very few people will choose. But that is the harder way, but it is the way that leads to eternal life. Then he taught the disciples, when they listen to people teaching them, you need to discern by looking at the fruits of the preachers. If they bear good fruits, means that they are good teachers. If they bear bad fruits, they are bad teachers. So after saying all this, Jesus ended with a warning and also a parable and said, whoever had hear these teachings, these sayings of mine and does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Remember in the Great Commission, in the end of chapter 28 of Matthew, Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world to baptize them, to disciple them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And then he said what? Teaching them to observe all the things that I told you. He didn't say to them, say, go and teach them all the things that I commanded you. But he said, teach them to observe. That means that just not just having the truth, but to actually do the things that I told you. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Now, when Jesus say about the wise and foolish builders, he's talking to us. Are we going to be wise or foolish builder of our own lives? How are we going to build our lives? You see, the world standard and the Lord Jesus standard is totally opposite. If the world see you prosperous and have big house and drive a big Mercedes or sports cars and had lots of successes and fame, then the world say, oh, this is a wise person. But if they see you poor, if they see you poor in spirit, you're meek, you love the word of God, you want to share the good news, the gospel, the world look at you and say, he is a fool. So the world standard and the Lord Jesus standard is different. So what would you rather be? Would you rather be a fool in the world's eyes or a fool in the Lord Jesus' eyes? I hope that we can all desire to be a fool in the Lord Jesus' eyes. To be a fool in the world's eyes, but to be wise in the Lord Jesus' eyes. Okay? That is a choice we have to make. That is a choice we have to make on how we build our lives. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. This is the story of the man who built his life on sandy foundation. Okay? But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. This is a sandy foundation. The one who built his house on the rock. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So there's a choice here. The person who built his house on sandy foundation is someone who looks at the mirror, like a man looking in the mirror, and then forgetting what he looks like. He walks away, he totally forgetting what he looks like. He did not hear the teachings of the Lord and then do them. He's just a hearer. He is not a doer. But the man who built his house on the rock is a doer. He continues in what he heard and choose to obey the Lord Jesus. You see, there are many people who choose to build their life on works, on their careers, on successes of their life. On material possessions, they measure their success by how much things they own. But none of those things will last. It will not count much at the last judgment. And you know, some people say that there are two things that are certain in life, death and taxes. Okay? The accountants will know. You can't avoid both. Like you had to face death one day and you have to keep paying taxes until the day you die, until the day you stop working. Okay? So I want to tell you one more thing you need to add to that list. After death, there is a judgment. You can't avoid that too. You either be judged as a member of the household of God, or you'll be judged as millions and billions of other sinners who do not know the Lord Jesus or have rejected the Lord Jesus. there are two verses I want you to read. The 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and Hebrews 9:27. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Hebrews 9:27. And it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. As I say just now, the wind, the storm, the flood, they are like trials of life. But there's one trial that will be at the end, the biggest one, which is death and the last judgment of God. So two questions we must answer when we face judgment. Do we obey the will of the Father by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior? Now, believing does not mean just hear the gospel and say, lift our hands and say, I believe. And then afterwards, totally ignore the Lord Jesus. When you say you believe, there has to be a change in your life. When you say you believe in Lord Jesus, it means that you are saying to the Lord, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. There are all the sins. I know I'm unworthy, but I want to lay them down at your feet. And I believe truly that your blood on the cross can cleanse me from all the sins. And from now on, I want to follow you. I want to listen to what you say, and I'm going to obey you. I know that I'm not perfect. I know that I'm going to fail, but I want to start obeying you one thing at a time, one day at a time. Every day I want to come before you. I want to say to you, Lord, Lord Jesus, teach me what I should do today, and I want to obey you. And that is doing the will of the Father. That is building your house on solid rock. But if you say, Lord, I believe, and then you walk away and you just live as anyone else in the world, no difference. You are not the salt of the earth. You are not the light of the world. You're just someone who has a name. Say, I'm a Christian. You come to church. You attend church on Sunday for a couple hours a week. And then you go away and you live like anyone else in the world, building your house on sand. So at the end of that judgment, what will we listen, what will we hear from God? How, what would God say to us? These are the two different outcomes. Matthew 25 verse 34. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Or, depart from me, you accursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. These are the two outcomes. So you can see that one is the one that stood firm, and the other one is the one that collapsed into a heap and lost everything. So which one are you building your life on now? Are you building your life now based on what the Lord Jesus said to you? Or are you building your life now based on material things, successes, monies, and things that you can own without obeying the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus wants to be your Savior. The Lord Jesus also wants to be Lord of your life. So will you choose Him to be your Lord? Will you choose Him to be the foundation of how you build your life? So that is the question that Jesus wants His hearers to understand from His parable of the wise and foolish builders. And this is the story, the truth that I want you to understand today from listening to this parable. Let's pray. Lord, we commit all these brothers and sisters to your hands. Lord, you know our very beings, Lord, inside and out. You know what is in our hearts. You know the struggles that we have gone through in following you. Sometimes we are strong, sometimes we are weak. But we pray that, Lord, each of us here, whether strong or weak, all have that same desire to truly know you as our Savior and to truly commit our lives to you. That you are not just a name on our lips, but your name is a name that we honor, that we reverend, that we want to worship, that we want to love. Lord Jesus, be real in our life. Be like the rocky foundation. Be like the sure foundation that you mentioned in the parable. Lord, help us not to be fools in your eyes. Help us, Lord, not to be building our lives on things that will be perished at the last judgment. Help us, Lord. Help us to really obey you as our Lord and Savior and to do your will. We need you to help us. We thank you for this morning's opportunity to present and read your word. May you continue to bless it and speak it to our hearts in the week to come. Pray in your precious name. Amen.